is the Jose Show. Jose Show.
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Jose Show. I am your host, Jose Roldan Jr., and tonight we're going to be speaking with actor and comedian Dick Colligan. Hey, Dick, welcome to the show.
Hey.
How are you doing, man?
Thanks for having me. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's actually a pretty good day here in Zephyr Hills, Florida. I'm probably not too far from you if you live in St. Pete area, so that's about an hour or so.
Yeah, that's right.
So
very cool.
So let me tell everybody how I met Dick. I was on the set of The Hanging of William Caine, which was filmed in Parrish, Florida, and it was directed by Preston Walden. And that's actually the first time that I've ever met Dick. And Dick, let me ask you a question before we go into The Hanging of William Caine. How did you actually get your start as a comedian and as a an actor? Now, I was listening a little bit of a podcast that you were on talking about that you were actually on Wall Street. You worked on Wall Street. So just go ahead and tell everybody everything about that.
Yeah. I was on Wall Street for about 10 years. And I started doing comedy about 4 years ago on a whim, basically, just to try it because I'd always loved it. I grew up idolizing Jerry Seinfeld and Dana Carvey and Rodney Dangerfield and Jackie Mason and people like that. And it was always something that really intrigued me. And so when I was in New York, and one night I just started writing jokes, and I was writing for 4 or 5 months. And after a while, I had probably 25 minutes of material. So I thought, I'm going to go try it out and see how I do. And I did an open mic downtown in the city at a place called Climate Lounge, which I don't know if it's even still there. And it did not go as planned. I basically bombed for at least 2.5 minutes. I think I landed like one or two, maybe three jokes in 5 minutes. I don't even know if I was on there for 5 minutes. And it was a pretty humbling experience, but I got a couple good jokes out of it, and I sort of figured out that I could do it. You know, I realized I had a lot to learn and a lot to practice. And, so I did that and I just kept going up, and, I didn't really think that much about it. It was just, you know, I would do one mic after another, and, you know, pretty much every weekend I would go out and do some kind of stand up. And then about 6 months later, I got my first show, at Greenwich Village Comedy Club in New York. And then that was a much better experience because it was a paying audience.
There you go.
To actually see you and support you, as opposed to an open mic where people are there to basically work on their own stuff, and aren't really that concerned about what you're doing. So that really gave me a taste of what it was like to perform live for a crowd. And I loved it. So I kept working on it, kept writing, practicing. I mean, I was doing my day job at the time, which was pretty consuming. So I was almost like the husband in Mrs. Maisel, where I would like do my corporate, you know, white collar job during the day. And then I would like go slum it downtown and go to these comedy clubs. And I met a ton of great people, and it was a blast. I mean, it was, you know, any comedian will probably tell you that open mics are not like the highlight of the job, but it's part of what you do. It's how you get better, and it's how you hone your skills. So I was grateful to meet so many really fun, interesting people. And you know, I just kept working on it. And after a while, I ran into a manager at my church, actually. And she was like, you know, well, I manage people for TV and film acting, and I'd always wanted to do that. So I thought, well, hey, you know, I've always wanted to do that. I've been doing comedy for a couple of years. And you said, you know, well, then I'll represent you. And so then I started getting headshots and submitting myself, or she would submit me for film and TV gigs. And I was auditioning for about a year before I got anything, basically. And learning along the way, because I was doing self-tapes. So I was, you know, learning not only how to act, but also how to film myself and edit it and then submit it. So I was like going to like acting school and directing school and production school at the same time.
Wow.
And I worked on that for like a year. And then I booked this movie called Fall Fever, directed by Chandran Rutnam, who's worked with Spielberg. He's a very big director in the West Coast and Sri Lanka. And that was supposed to shoot in the fall of 2021. I booked it in June of 21. Uh-huh. And then it got delayed because of LA was all crazy with COVID. And then it was going to shoot down here in Florida. And then that got moved. And then it was going to shoot in Sri Lanka. Now it looks like it's coming back to either Florida or Georgia. So it's been like a saga. That producing and filming the movie is like a movie in itself. And that was it. And then I booked a couple other things down here in Florida. I moved to Florida in June of 2021. And then I got an audition for The Hanging of William Caine, which was in November of 2021. And I got the part of William Caine. And so that's how we met, and the rest is history.
That's pretty cool. Now, so Greenwich Village, that's part of Manhattan, correct?
Yes. Yeah, okay, it's the lower, like, west side of Manhattan.
Because I was actually just in Manhattan last Tuesday and Wednesday, and let me tell you, one and done. That is a concrete jungle. And I'm a bigger guy. Of course, you see me on set. I'm not skinny like you. I wish I was. One day, I used to be like that, you know. But as you get older, you know, you kind of spread a little bit. And yeah. In 2 days, I walked almost 9.5 miles. That doesn't include the subway, the taxi, the Uber, and all that stuff. Let me tell you, and I was in Greenwich Village as well, because I had to go to a place there called WeWork, which they rent office space to businesses if they need space. Right. I met a friend there. But how many comedy clubs are there in Manhattan? Because obviously I wasn't looking, but I'm sure I passed a few. I was just trying to figure out how to get to Penn Station so I can get back to Newark to get to my hotel that first night that I was there. I was afraid I was going to get mugged.
Yeah, well, that's a valid fear. There's a lot. I think there's probably at least 15 or so, probably maybe more like a dozen. A couple closed actually from COVID,
wow,
which is really sad. And there's like pop-up comedy shows and stuff like that. It's not like everyone is this huge, like Madison Square Garden type of venue. But there's a bunch downtown. That's probably where there are the most. And there's a lot in Brooklyn, Queens. I don't know about Staten Island or the Bronx. But there's, I mean, in Manhattan alone, there's probably a dozen. Wow. Within Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, there's probably 24. So there's a lot. There's probably more comedy clubs in New York than anywhere else in the world. A lot of people go to New York, obviously, to make it in comedy. I was lucky because I was there already. So I could take advantage of my location and the proximity to all that. And I ended up, you know, doing stuff all over the city in all kinds of different clubs. But they're everywhere. You kind of have to look because they're not like the most obvious locations. So yeah. You probably did run across a bunch of them and didn't even realize it.
Wow. So maybe the next time if I ever go there, I'll have to check that out. I've always wanted to do an open mic night. Now, you said you would write basically your jokes. Now, did you carry like a little tablet with you or something where you could, if you thought of something, you could write it down? Is that how you kept track of everything? So that way you could go to the open mic night and you had a book full of jokes or whether it's of your family or friends or whatever.
Yeah. I wrote them on my phone. because okay. I pretty much always had that. And then I would just memorize them before the mic. I never used notes, which now I do, because I thought it looked unprofessional. And so I just kept basically track of those things, and I'd work on it, you know, and I would like learn them all before for the mic. And then I would like work on them over different mics. But having done it for a couple of years now, I've learned that like you do better, I think, when you don't have anything that you're looking at. If you're just looking at the audience, it's better than looking at your notes. Sometimes, you know, you work on stuff, you don't have time to like commit it all to memory. But that's how I did it. Other people do it differently. Some people like never use notes. Some people like, I've been to like paid shows where people like have notes on stage. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I know like headline comics that bring stuff with them, or even just a reminder, you know, a little list of what they're going to talk about.
Oh, that's cool.
So it depends. I have a good memory, so it's like easy for me to remember jokes, which is why, you know, did well in acting, because I have a pretty good ability to like memorize lines and not forget them. So I could do that. And I always thought it helped. The problem sometimes was if you do forget something and you don't have any notes, like you got nothing, you know, then it's like, you're going to memory. And me personally, I would get nervous when that would happen.
Yeah.
I would kind of panic and I'd freeze and I would like search for what to say. I'm better now if I forget stuff, but back then I thought it was like really bad. And then I would get nervous. And then once you get nervous, it's really, really hard to be funny.
I can imagine.
Because it's just a different, like it's the wrong emotional level, you know, like funny happens like when you're like loose and enjoying yourself and like kind of cheerful. Nervous is like, nervous people are not funny for the most part.
That's true. You know, now once you get 50, you will start to forget a lot. What was your name again? His name's Dick. Okay, I knew that. I gotta try that, you know. So
yeah, exactly. So what did you think of New York when you went?
Let me tell you. I was on the subway. I was going to Chinatown, which I was right there, not too far from the Charging Bull. And, you know, let me say something about the Charging Bull. So I go to the Charging Bull because that's been in tons of movies, and I'm standing in front because I want to get a picture of the Charging Bull. It's like an icon on Wall Street. And I noticed the rear of the bull, was more popular than the front of the bull. Did you ever notice that?
No,
really? So I'm like, okay, so let me take my picture. And these people took my picture. So I go around the rear of the bull and they're posing with, you know, I got to keep this family friendly. The bull balls. And they're actually rubbing it for good luck. And I'm like, that's okay. I am not going to rub that for good luck. I'll pass. So I just took a video of people doing it. And this couple, they had a kid and he was like standing in front of the balls and they pushed their kid down. I'm like, what in the world? But so I was on the subway, and like I said, I was going to Chinatown, but I was right there near One Wall Street. And of course, I've never really been on a subway. I have been in Washington, D.C. years ago, but other than that, no. And I don't know where the heck I'm going. And it seemed like we were going forever. And then I ended up in Brooklyn. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I called my wife and I'm like, okay, sweetheart, like I'm kind of lost. I was like, Kevin from New York, you know, lost in New York. And so she's like, yeah, take this subway, go here. So, but while I was on the subway going to Brooklyn, when I was supposed to be going to Chinatown, this guy, I would say mid-20s, comes to, professional bum here, professional bum, give me some money. And he was like pushing his way through and I was hanging on to the bar. And I always have like one of those sixth sense. Like I try to see ahead. Well, his coat, what looked like blood, just drenched down. And I'm like, I'm backing up, you know, I'm like, oh my God, this is really gross. And then he's going down. And while I'm sitting there freaking out, all the New Yorkers are just sitting there like, la, 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 you know, like this is normal for him. And here I am, I'm scared to death. You know, I'm afraid this guy's going to like pull out a knife and stab me in front of everybody. And then I'm going to be dead. But I mean, other than that, it wasn't that bad. It's just, it's a lot of walking, and there's so much to see that you just literally can't see it in 2 days. Now, I had went up there to be in a documentary, And I really can't say what it is and what it's about because I did before and I just don't want to jinx it. But I was there. They filmed me for an hour and a half. And so I'm pretty sure that I'll get in it. But, you know, it's a 2-hour documentary and they've interviewed tons of people. So my hour and a half will probably be like a minute. So,
right.
But a minute is good. And once it's released, it'll be on HBO Max. But wow. Other than that, Chinatown was pretty cool. I mean, I ate Vietnamese there. And I finally figured out I've ate Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese. They're all the same to me. They taste exactly the same. So, you know, so, but it was an experience. The company, production company flew me up there and I really enjoyed it. And, but I probably won't go again. I mean, there's really nothing up there that I'm really interested in. Now my wife's from Binghamton and she lived in Vestal, New York. So you will go back there, because actually I don't have to worry about getting mugged, but, we're going to go ahead and take a commercial break. You're listening to The Jose Show. Hey, folks, this is Jose for The Jose Show. If you have a website, a podcast, or you would like to support the show, just hit me up with an email to zhills411@gmail.com, and in the subject line, put support the show. Thank you. And welcome back to The Jose Show. I am your host, Jose Roldan Jr. You were getting ready to say something before the commercial. Sorry about that.
No, that's cool. New York is, it's not everyone's cup of tea for sure. I mean, it's a great place. It's a lot of fun, fun to visit, but yeah, I've heard that from a lot of people. Really, you need to probably be there for like a week to kind of get your bearings and understand, you know, where you are. I mean, if you're there for 2 days, it's just a blur.
Yeah, and that's basically all it was. It was a whirlwind trip. That was it, one and done. And but I probably will go again. It's just, you know, maybe I don't know, a couple years from now. It'd be nice to have the wife with me. But all right, so now we're going to change gears here a little bit, and we're going to talk about acting. Here recently, since January, I've been I don't know if you call an actual actor, but I guess they are because they are acting. I've been in two feature films, which is a film. A feature film is anything over 40 minutes with credits. Anything under 40 with credits is considered a short. And I've been in 6 shorts. So, and like I said earlier, I met Dick on the set of The Hanging of William Caine. So go through the process, how you actually got that role and what was it like being on set?
The role I got because somebody referred me to the director. And I auditioned for him, Preston Walden, who you know. And then I, you know, followed up with them a couple times. And I guess they liked the audition. And so they gave me the role. And the whole process took probably 3 weeks, I would say, which is not really bad for a film. And it was a great, I mean, I was really relieved. It was my first lead role, my first Western. And I was really thrilled for both of them because I love the genre. And I loved the story right from the very beginning. And the second I got the audition script, I was like gung-ho about getting the part. Really, really, really wanted it. And I could see myself as the character and I really identified with what he was going through and what his family was going through. And all I had was 2 pages really of script. So I didn't know really anything about the character, but from those 2 pages, I could gather a lot of information and really understand his mindset. And they picked a really good scene to showcase for the audition. So I liked what I saw. And then I got the script after I got the part about a month and a half later in January. And
wow,
it was even better. You know, I read it all and I really love the story. It's a really true Western because the guy who wrote it, whose name is R.J. Hendricks II, is a Western novelist. That's what he does. And he's written, I think, 8 or 9 different novels. All Western genre. And he is an expert. He knows everything about the time period, the region, the characters. And he could tell you, you know, what life was like down to what kind of, you know, shoes they wore, in 1881. So the script was really realistic, and it wasn't like the most like far-fetched story. Not that Westerns really are typically, but I could really, grasp what the point was and what the message was. And I really supported the message of the film. And there aren't, you know, there are, I think, less of those today, you know, that have a very clear message and something that, is easy to get behind, where the characters are pretty relatable and the story is something that you can understand. Now, there's a great twist, which I'm not going to spoil for anybody, because it's going to go out to the festivals starting in August. But when this comes out, people are really going to enjoy it. You probably won't recognize me from doing this interview. No. in the movie. I'm like a completely different person. And I'm really excited for it to come out, because it was great. I mean, being on set, you were there for I think most of it, if not all of it.
I was there for that Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
And that was long. Yes,
it was for sure. You know, we got perfect weather, which is awesome.
Yes.
We were shooting in March. And we were shooting for pretty much, I don't know, a little 10 and a half hour days. Most of the time we go from like 8 a.m. to like 6:30 p.m.
Yes.
Basically as long as we could get the light. One night, I think you were there the second to last day, we went until like 7:30.
Yes. I remember that. That's
and that was really fun. That was really fun. It was a terrific experience. Like I said, it was the first lead role I've done. And I loved every second of it. You know, we couldn't have asked for a better crew, a better production team. You know, the extras were amazing. You guys, the costuming and the wardrobe was completely perfect. We have Les McDowell, who is a veteran Western actor and also a complete expert on the genre.
Yes, he is. Nice.
And he had the wardrobes for everyone. He has this whole set that he's created. It's a town called Dry Creek that is completely period appropriate from everything. I mean, the buildings, the streets, the size of everything. There's no running water. It is like 100% accurate to every nail. The doors don't work on the most lot of the buildings. Yeah,
tell me about it.
So
you even have a little jail too.
Yeah, there's a jail. There was everything. He's got literally a whole town created, and it was so fun to step into that world and just immerse yourself in it. I mean, once you got on set, like, you were really there. You were in the, you know, turn of the century, 1900 or 1800s America.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot just by being there.
Oh, it was nice. Let me tell you, you did a fantastic job. I mean, you know, like you said, we can't really say what was going on, but I can't wait for it to come out, because I was, I guess you could say, a little bit featured as I was kind of right there, so to speak. I think the funniest thing that happened to me was during the one scene where I was running and I tripped and fell. And my God, that one lady, she runs over to me, she started laughing, she goes, "I'm sorry, but it was so funny, but are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, you know, you got a, you know, 200 and some pound guy just crashing to the ground." And surprisingly enough, I rolled just right, that the next day I thought I was going to be sore. I was not sore. Like, I don't know how I did it, but I know. It's like I'm a veteran stunt guy now, but I really enjoyed being on the set. Preston is a great guy. I actually interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, and you know, he's got a lot of stuff coming up. And you know, they fed everybody well.
He's really busy guy.
Yes, he is. I mean, he is. Man, he's just got some stuff that's coming out. You know, so I can't wait to. I know I'm going to be a part of one of them, but man, everybody, the whole cast, crew, extras, the camera people, everybody did a fantastic job. This is going to be a great film. And it's my first Western too. You know, like you said, going into that time period, you literally felt like you were actually there, you know, with the horses and just every, you know, the ladies wearing their dresses and the gunslingers and stuff like that. You know, the last time I've been on anything similar to that is when I was a kid in Ocala. They had a place called Six Gun Territory, and they actually had a Western town. And at certain times during the day, you could just be walking the streets, and all of a sudden,
hang on 1 second. Sorry, I got to turn my light on here.
Okay, and you could actually see a real gunfight. The people would actually start shooting blanks, and then at the end, the kids would run into the street, and they would actually grab the little black blank bullets. So that was the last. That was the first time that I was ever on a Western set. So just going back now at age 50, I was about 10 then. It's actually pretty cool. Now, what projects do you have coming up in the future?
Man, I didn't realize you were all the way up there.
I appreciate it, man. I got to lose the weight. Trust me, I was down to like 240 and I gained it back. But I appreciate that. That makes me feel good. I don't feel so old right now. So what are some of the future projects you actually have coming up?
So we're going to do that movie Fall Fever, which has been delayed about a year. I'm actually helping produce that now. We're doing another one, or I'm doing another one with Preston coming up next May, I think, called And Then Came You.
Oh, yes.
Which is a romance, which kind of a romantic comedy, but more romance, which is a great story, feature written by Preston. The guy is just so talented. I mean, he's really, really remarkable. I think he does like two or three movies a year.
Yeah, he put out on Facebook casting for that one. So I put in for one of the parts, so we'll see.
Oh, good. Cool. So,
that's cool.
And then I've got a show. I've got a bunch of shows coming up, but the next one is going to be June 10th. Down in St. Petersburg at Pub Grub and Vine.
Yeah,
I'm going to post that probably tomorrow. And then I just actually auditioned for the lead in a romantic comedy that's shooting down in Clearwater where I live. And I'm really excited about that one. So there's a lot. It's going to be a busy year. Next year is going to be busy. You know, it's really been a blessing to be down here because there's so much production happening. There's so many great people. There's such a terrific film community. Yes, and I also do a weekly radio show every Tuesday called Stand Up for News, which is kind of like Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live, but we think it's funnier.
That's cool. And isn't that 1340 Tan Talk?
Yeah, Tan Talk Radio. Okay. Exactly. 1340 AM and 106.1 FM. Cool. And so we basically read the headlines and we come up with our own, our own take on the headlines. And then sometimes we'll do our own stuff as well.
That's pretty cool.
But it's a really fun time. Yeah, it's half an hour, 2:30 to 3 every Tuesday. It's a blast. So, tune in for that if you're in the area. And if you're not in the area, you can go to, I think it's 1340tantalk.com. And there's also a live stream on YouTube at Tan Talk Radio. And then I put videos of the show on my YouTube channel, which is Dick Jokes Comedy, where you can subscribe and see all my videos there on YouTube. And then also same on Instagram as well.
Okay.
But I really encourage everyone to go there and see that because I have I have like 40 something videos on there, sketches, monologues, stand-up comedy, news, hosting, broadcasts, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. So it's really fun. And I do new stuff all the time. So when you subscribe, make sure you get the notifications. You can see all the new things. And, it's a great place to create. I think Florida is amazing. I'm thrilled to be down here. Thrilled to meet people like you.
Same here.
And, hopefully we'll see you on the next one.
Definitely, definitely. We're going to go ahead and take a commercial break. You're listening to The Jose Show. Hey, folks, this is Jose for The Jose Show. If you have a website, a podcast, or you would like to support the show, just hit me up with an email to zhills411@gmail.com, and in the subject line, put support the show. Thank you. Hey, and welcome back to The Jose Show. I am your host, Jose Roldan Jr. All right, Dick, it has been fun talking with you, so I'm going to give you a chance to reflect. If you have any advice or anything you want to say, and then when you're done, share your social medias, and then I'll take over from there.
Cool. Yeah, this has been a dream of mine for my whole life. Since I was 5 years old, I wanted to be an actor, and it took a pretty circuitous path to get there. But if I can do it, anybody can do it. It doesn't really, you know, take any kind of magic ability. It's like anything else. You work on it and constantly keep putting things there that are going to advance your career, and one day you will get there. And the same for stand-up comedy. You know, it's a process, and it's not, you know, like anything else. When you start, it's not always easy, but neither was walking, and everyone can do that now pretty much. So, sure. You know, if these are things that you want to do, you can do them. I'll be the first to tell you, and it will take time probably, and it will take effort, but everything takes effort, even breathing.
Yeah, know? Definitely.
You're working even while you're sleeping. So, you know, I think a lot of people can get discouraged because they hear stories about people who don't make it, and how difficult it is, and you know, how you have to suffer. And like, that's true, I think, in some ways, but I wouldn't let it deter you. If this is a career that you want to pursue and a dream you have, you know, if you want things badly enough, you will get them. So just start, you know. If you want to do acting, start learning scenes and put them up on YouTube. And go to, you know, backstage.com or Casting Networks or Actors Access and submit yourself for auditions. If you want to do comedy, go to an open mic, write some jokes, hopefully beforehand.
Yeah, definitely.
And try them out and see what you think and see if you like it and just have fun. You know, either way, like the worst thing that's going to happen is people are going to clap for you, no matter how badly you do. And I've seen people do really badly, including myself. I've bombed for like 5 straight minutes with zero, you know, applause or laughter. And at the end, like, thank you. Where were you when I needed you?
I know, right?
Could have used you 3 years ago. I'm gonna have to steal that. You know, and nobody died. That's good. I didn't lose my career. My girlfriend didn't break up with me. I didn't get hit by a bus. Life went on. My ego was a little bruised.
Yeah.
And, but I ended up getting really good jokes out of it. Some of the best jokes I've ever written came out of that experience. So you just never know what's going to happen. But if you don't try, I can guarantee you it's not going to work.
Makes sense. That makes sense. And go ahead and share your social media. Medias.
Yeah. And my social media is Dick Jokes Comedy on YouTube, where you can subscribe. And then make sure you hit on the notifications to get notified on all the new videos. And then Instagram. And Twitter as well. So that's where you can find me. I love reaching out and meeting with new people. I've met tons of people all over the world through that. And I'm always putting up new videos and stories and shorts and things like that. So hopefully, you know, you're there. And if you subscribe, let me know that you met me through the Jose Show, and I'll filter it back to Jose.
Cool. And so I want to reiterate, like he said, if you never try, you're never going to know if you can succeed. So if he can do it, I can do it, because here I am 50 and never thought I would actually get a chance to even be in a film. Although in 2012, I was in a short, but, you know, it never got put on IMDb. So if I never do anything else, I've accomplished at least something that I've always wanted to do podcasting for years. I just started in 2020. And I've always wanted to be an actor back when I was like 16, 17 years old. So I'm doing that now. And myself, I want to take smaller roles. because the thing is, it's hard to memorize stuff anymore as you get older. What was your name again? Oh, it's Dick. That's right. Anyway, I had to do that again.
Mine's easy to remember.
I know. Yeah, I know. It's like, what's up, Dick?
Get over mine. You got real problems.
I know, right? So anyway, my social media, I was giving everybody like everything. So if you just look at my show notes, I have a Linktree link that will link you to my email, my Twitter, my Instagram, my Facebook, the internet radio station, Turf's Up Radio that I'm on and all that stuff. So just check that out. It's a lot easier just to point you to one link and you can see it all and you can choose to whatever you want. It goes to the podcast sites and, but you know, it's definitely, give it a try. You know, I'm going to definitely try an open mic night and I'm going to have to sit there and write something down and I'm going to be nervous as heck. Cause it gets nervous right now just being in front of the camera. You know, it's better when you know the people a little bit, so it's not as hard, but still, man, you get the willies in your stomach and it can be crazy at times. And, you know, I'll give you an example. When I was auditioning, I was in Losing to Win, which is, Dean Cain's in it and it's by JC Films. I had my monologue. I knew what I was going to say. It was right here. So I was standing in front of the, you know, everybody that was casting and I started saying it and about three lines into it, my mind just went poof. And I'm like, you know, I don't have minutes to figure out. I have like nanoseconds. So I just started shooting off stuff that was similar to what I was going to say. And I got a part, but it's like I felt bad because that's not really what I wanted to say. But I guess that happens sometimes. You just, your mind goes blank and you don't know what to do. So you got to improvise. So, but, well, Dick, it has been fun having you on. I want to give you an applause. So the audience out there, give Dick applause.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Oh, is that a standing ovation? That's so kind.
Yeah. Okay. Sit down, everybody.
You guys are the best. No, thank you. Really.
Yeah. See, now if I was doing it, this was what they would do.
I've heard that too.
The crickets. Yeah. So, all right, Dick, I'm going to let you go. Never mind. I'm going to let you go, and you're listening to The Jose Show on Turf's Up Radio.
Thanks for listening to The Jose Show. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And see you next time on The Jose Show.